The date is set for June 12th, the location Singapore, and there's already a team on the ground making final preparations. I'm talking about a historic U.S.-North Korea summit. No sitting American president has ever met with a leader of North Korea. But in recent days, the highly anticipated meeting between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un has suddenly come into question. Victor Cha was George W. Bush's top advisor on North Korea. If he was advising this president, Cha says he would tell President Trump that he needs to stick with the game plan.
He wants to do this summit with the North Korean leader. And despite the hiccups that we saw last week with North Korean statements that they may not come to the meeting if they can't get agreement on what denuclearization is, these are bumps in the road that we should always expect with North Korea. It's never easy negotiating with them. Things that you think are agreed upon are later not agreed upon. And so no one should walk into this thinking that this is going to be, you know, smooth sailing or that there's going to be a fairy tale ending at the end of this. It's always going to be difficult, and you got to roll up your sleeves and expect all sorts of curveballs like we got last week.
So you said stick with the game plan, but what was the game plan?
Well, I mean, I think according to what we've seen from President Trump, the game plan was to do a high-level meeting to try to get assurances from the North Korean leader at the very highest levels about a commitment to denuclearization and then use that to get the two negotiating parties to then implement what the leaders did. It may sound a little bit idealistic or perhaps a little bit naive, but at the same time, having participated in these negotiations for 30 years, we've been trying to do this without talking to the North Korean leader. And we finally have a U.S. president that was willing to break all sorts of policy conventions and try to do diplomacy personally. And if there's one country where the leader matters in terms of making decisions, it's North Korea.
The Washington Post has a story quoting an anonymous U.S. official saying about the North Koreans, it doesn't look like they want to denuclearize at all. What do you make of that?
Well, that would be consistent with statements that the North Koreans have been making through much of the previous 2 years, where they believe that their nuclear weapons program has been a success and that they, on December 12th, I think it was, of last year, they announced that they were now a successful nuclear weapons state. The North Korean game plan, I think, has always been that they wanted to achieve that capability and then be willing to negotiate a peace treaty or normalization of relations or even an arms control agreement with the United States on the Korean Peninsula, but as a nuclear weapon state. And so I think the really difficult question on the U.S. side is whether you can accept something like that or whether you can accept it as the beginning negotiating premise and see if you can work the North Koreans further back from their position than what they've stated. And, you know, of course, that is what negotiations are for.
Right. I mean, so the North Koreans have kind of gotten what they want, and now the U.S. wants them to denuclearize. When you're bargaining, wanting something too much is a bad thing, and once the other party knows you want it bad, they're suddenly in a position of greater power. Is that what's going on here, in spite of Trump's reputation as the great deal maker?
I think to an extent that is. I mean, the way the president responded with every action that the North Koreans took, and they took, you know, some significant actions over the past few weeks where they agreed not to test anymore. They agreed to close down their nuclear test site. They said to the International Maritime Aviation and Aviation Organization that they would no longer conduct unannounced ballistic missile tests, and they returned the three American hostages. They took a number of steps, and President Trump really played those up, which had the impact of increasing expectations of this summit meeting. I think with the announcement by the North Koreans last week saying they may not come, now expectations all of a sudden have been dropped of this summit. And I think at this point, the president should probably stay quiet, should not tweet, and should focus on allowing Pompeo and his team to try to negotiate some real policy deliverables for the summit.
Now, tomorrow, South Korea's President Moon Jae-in is going to meet with Trump. What's that conversation going to sound like, do you think? Because Moon was, after all, the one who told Trump, hey, you can sit down with Kim Jong-un, we can make it happen, and now a lot of it looks to be in doubt.
Right. You know, so I think probably within the last 72 hours, what they had planned to do during this meeting has changed drastically. I think initially it was probably the idea that the South Korean president would help Trump prepare for his meeting with Kim. The North and the South Korean leaders on April 27th had lots of discussions about the U.S.-North Korea summit. But now with the KCNA statement from the North yesterday, that last week, President Moon is probably coming here very concerned and wanting to make sure he can salvage this meeting happening on June 12th if it's not postponed.
I mean, I guess we need to look on the bright side because averting a potential nuclear conflict has to be a good thing. But I guess what I want you to tell us is what could possibly go wrong?
The thing about doing summits like this at the very beginning is that if the summit fails, then you really have no place to go in terms of diplomacy. I mean, the summit is the top, right? It is the very pinnacle of diplomacy. And if it fails, the only thing after a summit is a cliff. So I don't think anybody wants that to happen. And if this meeting goes forward, and as we get closer to it, I think all sides will realize they have much more vested in a successful meeting, or at least one that doesn't fail. So I think in that sense, there's quite a bit at stake. And I think all sides realize that, but the North Koreans know that, and they will leverage that to their advantage in the days to come before June 12th.
Victor Cha at the School of Foreign Service at Georgetown University, thanks very much for being with us today.
That's my pleasure.